When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Recipes. They show us the step-by-step of how to prepare dishes to nourish our bodies. But they are so much more than that. They conjure up memories of people and places in very endearing ways. Whether you like the simple instruction of a can of this and a can of that, or if you like the more complex, all-fresh approach, we welcome you to the table as we discuss Southern cookbooks. I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia. We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table. So pull up a chair. Well, welcome to the table. We have a hefty subject to tackle today.
Welcome to the Summer Olympics 2022 version.
Right?
I mean, this is heavy. So
I mean, we had so many directions we could go. It almost was like, do we even do it?
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah. I mean, this is one we put on ourselves. This is we knew as a Southern podcast, you have to have this in your topics.
Yeah.
Cookbooks. It's central to culture here.
And I think when it all boils down to it, the very best Southern cookbook is the one that makes you think of the people you love or the memories you have.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't matter who the, how pretty the pictures are or any of that. In fact, if it's got little splatters all over it, it's probably better than ever.
Yeah.
You know, but
I mean,
there's no way we can talk about the every wonderful recipe. We're just trying
exactly. And there's not one book. Even if you've got a favorite Southern cookbook, there's no way
it has
can
everything
be
all
in inclusive and that you got rid of everything else and you just go by this one. So, yeah, we need to just go ahead and shed the pressure.
That's right. We have to do that.
This is not a top 10 list. This is not a finals. This is just a conversation. And we brought many of you into the conversation.
That's right. Which I'm so grateful for that, too.
Yes.
Because, again, just like I said in the intro, some people like, give me a can of this, a cup of that, and that's what I like.
Yes.
And other people are like, go into the farmer's market to see what's fresh and building from that.
Mm-hmm.
And both are fine.
Exactly.
We love you both.
We do. I know who I love a little bit more because one's my speed, but that's okay. Well, I think there's maybe not even just one. There's a couple of things that do set Southern cookbooks apart from other cookbooks that you're going to see as regions.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
One of those is beverages. I think Southern cookbooks carry a larger section of beverages than typical cookbooks.
Okay.
Unless it's obviously a smoothie cookbook or something, right? And I read that a drink is an expression of Southern hospitality.
Well, I do think about when somebody comes in the door.
Yes.
You like to greet them with something right away.
Yes.
To drink.
So I think that's one thing for sure that is a generality that you could say, you know, Southern cookbooks are probably going to have a thicker section on beverages if they have a beverage section, which most of them do. And then the other thing is what the weight or the sort of inclusion of relishes in Southern culture.
Okay, pickled things.
Pickled, canned, relished things are our jam.
I love it.
There's my pun. So I think that you'll see in lots of the cookbooks that we're going to talk about today, like a larger portion of relishes, again, compared to cookbooks outside of the Southern region.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, secondly, we can put a can of cream of mushroom soup in anything.
Oh, yeah.
Or something about or crushed, casseroles.
Or canned pineapple. Canned
or pineapple Ritz can go crackers in. Crumbled on top. I thought you were going to say we had more recipes that included that.
That might be true, too. I don't know. But yeah, I just thought beverages and relishes seem to be some categorical things that make us different. So anyway, where do you want to start?
I don't know. Okay. I'm just going to jump in with, in my research and looking through these, there was one that I was shocked how much it covered.
Okay.
Because you were saying there's not one that covers everything.
Right.
But y'all.
Is there one that comes pretty close?
I was shocked by Paula Deen's Southern Cooking Bible.
Okay, yes. So
it is unbelievably thorough. I checked it out from the library. Larva's picking it up right now to look at it. It has so many of the classic Southern recipes. Even from different regions. It's got Low Country. It's got Cajun.
I love that.
It's got fried chicken. It's got banana pudding. I mean,
if you're going to call something the Bible, it should be pretty inclusive.
It better be pretty thorough.
Yeah. Yeah. It says that this is over 300 recipes. And this is a great place to start because a lot of people do want just the traditions.
Give me the traditional. Now, if you want beautiful pictures, this is not going to be the one.
And a lot of people want that, too.
Yeah. I loved that we had a listener, Brittany Lynn.
Yes.
And she said she learned to cook using this book.
That's a huge statement.
That is a huge statement.
Yeah.
So if she literally learned to cook, that tells you it does have good step-by-step.
Yes.
It's not just assuming you know things. So I was so impressed with this one. I did order me a used copy.
Oh, you did? Hey!
Online. Because I'm like, I don't care if it's used.
Exactly.
It's going to get dirty anyway.
Right.
So I did. There was some recipes in there that I thought, oh, maybe I'll make a copy of this. And once I've thought that like three times, I'm like, it's $10 used on Amazon. I'm getting it.
That's actually brings me something funny I've never thought about. We should probably always buy, if we're buying it for ourselves, cookbooks used, because you already know based on how crinkly a page is
if it's good,
if it's good or not,
if it has a little.
No, I'm kidding. Most used books are not that used. I actually have a story about that.
Well,
later,
we
though.
Have something that I will say right here on that. Our mom used to always write on her recipes, like even on just little recipe cards, good, very good,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
I don't even mess with the goods anymore because she had so many very good
that you just
said. I was like, why bother with just good?
And so I have started doing that on some recipes, and others, if I make it and it's just okay, I just go ahead and toss the recipe. Like if it's something I've torn out,
yeah,
there's too many good ones to mess with making a just okay one.
Exactly.
Now another thing I'll do though is just make note, like use half of that amount of cream or half of that amount of mayonnaise or something.
Yes.
If I feel like
for sure.
Like that tweak.
For sure. Anyway. Well, one thing I'm noticing just in looking through this Paula Deen cookbook is she does, in little orange boxes, put a little kind of commentary,
tip,
like
or
your grandma over your shoulder, kind of, you know, or, you know, some wise wisdom.
Make sure you do this.
Yeah. I mean, how to, you know, some breadcrumb substitution, you know, like you've already mentioned Ritz crackers. So there's an easy one. Something to pair something with if you're, you know, just there's little things that are in this throughout it in little orange boxes that.
Well, I think what shocked me about that one was just it felt like it really covered the whole South. Like it wasn't just, you know, Appalachian food, or it wasn't just Low Country food.
Right.
It was like really covered the gamut.
Yeah. No, I'm liking this a lot.
So
and now I'm looking to see.
Thumbs up on that one.
Yeah, there's over 300 recipes in here. That's a lot.
And it's broken down very easy to find things as well.
She ends her chapter 17 on relishes.
Of course she does.
Yes, chapter 16's beverages. So, yeah.
It's a good one. Okay, from there, I was going to mention The Taste of Country Cooking is considered a true classic.
Yeah.
By Edna Lewis.
Okay, got to talk about Edna.
So she divided that cookbook. I really do love this about that cookbook. She divides it by seasons and menus.
Love this. Love this. This is going to help your grocery bill. Because you're paying more for things that are out of season. So buy true. It in season for the cheaper price.
And I think our bodies crave what's in season.
Yeah.
I've mentioned that on this podcast before. Anyway, she also did a collaboration cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
That's also similarly broken down with menus and seasons with Scott Peacock. And that one was called The Gift of Southern Cooking. Now, Scott Peacock is a younger chef out of, he cooked for a long time in Atlanta.
Yeah.
The Horseradish Grill, and for the governor's mansion. In Georgia.
That says a lot. Well, this is a 2003 cookbook
that
you're talking about, The Gift of Southern Cooking. I've got it right here in front of me. I got a copy at the library because I'm still wanting to decide if I want to get a copy of this as well. Yes, listener Shelley said this is a hot topic for her, and this is her number one pick. So we know her personally enough
to
know.
She cooks a lot.
She described it as quintessential Southern, simple, perfect, irreplaceable.
Okay.
And the cover of the book is precious.
Yeah.
Because Edna is a Black woman sitting across from Scott, who's a white man, and they've got this beautiful, simple table of just a little, cute little tablecloth. It's just the two of them. They just look like they really do enjoy each other. And then you even open up the cookbook and, you know, they're like an even sweeter pose of him just like hugging her from behind. Like, this is clearly a very sweet friendship.
Let me tell you how sweet that friendship was. She lived with him in his home the last 6 years of her life.
Are you serious? I didn't know that. Wow.
So that is pretty special.
Wow.
He was awarded the best chef in the Southeast by the James Beard Foundation in 2007.
Hey.
So he made quite a name for himself and, you know, really, I think, learned a lot from her.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, super sweet friendship. And that makes the book all the... It does. Beautiful, really.
It does. Well, one of the things that I read about it is that they've taken neglected traditional recipes unearthed in their years of research together on Southern food and worked out new versions that they've made their own. So I feel like if you are one that enjoys progress and wants to see things tweaked and modified, this would also be a great cookbook to take a little bit of traditional with a little bit of the new.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think there's, creamy grits and pan-fried chicken and biscuits and...
Well, he's known to be a wonderful biscuit maker, so I would love to see his biscuit recipe before you take that back to the library.
Okay. Garlic braised shoulder lamb chops.
Ooh.
With butter beans and tomatoes.
Now that sounds
butter beans
delicious.
And tomatoes. Is it any more Southern than that? Yeah. I even thought this was cute that it said in the cake section that these are potentially all cakewalk winners.
So
you know what
cute.
I mean by the
That's
cakewalk?
So cute. Yeah. That is precious. So,
there's also one that we should probably mention from Edna as well called In Pursuit of Flavor.
Okay.
And that's another classic one. NPR calls her the first lady of Southern cooking.
That's fair.
That's a pretty high mark. But the foreword in that one, In Pursuit of Flavor, is the foreword's done by Mashama Bailey.
Okay.
She's also a James Beard award-winning chef. It's got from the gardens and orchards, from the farmyard, from the lakes, from oceans. These are all kinds of the
categories.
Different
That's
categories.
Cute.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's got about 200 recipes in it.
There's an old cookbook I don't have on my notes here, but the Foxfire Appalachian Cookery cookbook. And I love how they break things down because it mentions like from the spring house and like, you know, similarly breaking things down. But that one, girl, they show you like.
Is it like how to kill the chicken?
How
order
to kill
to,
and, yeah. and do. Yeah. And they show you everything, how to build the fire. Like it's very, you know.
Homesteading.
Homesteading.
Yes.
So
wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, but it's not got all the fluff of some of these others, but it's very basic.
Yeah.
Well, we've mentioned before we love Southern Living,
of course,
or you know, recipes.
Yes,
and they have so many different cookbooks.
Yeah,
I personally don't own many of their cookbooks. I have printed out a lot of their recipes and made my own.
Yeah,
collections. Yeah. But they do have a couple I wanted to mention. One is called Southern Living All-Time Favorites.
Okay.
And The Ultimate Southern Living Cookbook. So those two names tell me they've got to be good.
Yeah.
Just because they're such big collections. But
well, and I've got the Heirloom Recipe Cookbook from Southern Living that I'm sitting here looking at. This was, I believe, a wedding gift, which we hadn't mentioned yet. But any of these make great
wonderful wedding gifts. Yeah.
Put it with a cutting board or something that they registered for their
from
kitchen.
Tennessee Woodworks.
Yeah.
One of those pretty butcher block boards.
But this one has lots of photos, even nostalgic photos. Look at this.
Oh,
old.
Yeah,
I mean, that looks like a picnic from the 1980s.
Love it. Yeah, that's just special.
And it even the recipes are kind of typed out in a nostalgic font. So
that's sweet. This Heirloom all the way.
Uh-huh.
There's another name I want to make sure we include early on in these classics, and that is Natalie Dupree. She's out of Charleston, and she's now, I don't know if she's late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
Anyway, she did a cookbook called Mastering the Art of Southern Cooking, which is a play on Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking.
Yes.
But they knew each other. They are both, you know, really wonderful cooks.
Yeah.
But she does everything in that from showing you the basics of cleaning vegetables and scrubbing a country ham.
Oh,
to,
that's good.
You know, actually how to prepare things.
Yes.
So Mastering the Art of Southern Cooking.
That's good.
I wanted that to be in our
that's good
classic list too.
We need some of these chefs actually, or excuse me, these cookbook authors to come sit with us.
I know.
I would really enjoy getting to talk to some of them personally, one on one. That'd be fun. Okay, so Natalie, call us. Have your people call
us. Yeah, I reached out to her website contact, you know, but I didn't hear back because I wanted to see if we could chat with her a bit. But well, there's so many directions that you can go with cookbooks. Sometimes they even come from iconic restaurants.
True.
You know what
yes,
I mean?
Because like, people want to try and replicate at home.
Right.
Yes.
And one of the ones I actually went to the library to look at. I can't buy all of these.
Right.
Like, you know,
yes.
I don't have even the shelf space for all of these.
Yes.
But the Brennan family out of New Orleans that has Commander's Palace, the famous Commander's Palace, they have a cookbook called Commander's Kitchen. So it features 150 recipes from their extensive offerings. And
wow.
I just wanted to mention that as a... You know, if you want one from a classic restaurant,
yes.
that might be a good pick.
That sounds amazing.
And another one I had the privilege of going to in my living in Atlanta days, Mary Mac's Tea Room.
Okay.
And they did a 75th anniversary cookbook. That's still an open working restaurant.
Okay.
And it's full of classics too. Fried green tomatoes and, you know, a lot of the Southern classics
I
that
love
they
it.
Serve there.
Well, then this would probably be a good time for me to mention Miss Daisy. She had a tea room here for years.
Yes, she did.
And still has a storefront here in the Franklin area. But Miss Daisy Celebrates Tennessee is one of her cookbooks, which is very cool because you get a little history lesson throughout this cookbook as well. This one cracks me up because it's signed... And I bought it from an estate sale, so it's not signed and made out to me.
To
it's
you.
To Marianne, Celebrate Tennessee, Daisy King, October 1st, 1995.
Love
That's
it.
When the book came out, was 95. But yeah, these are recipes that were put together in honor of the bicentennial anniversary of the state of Tennessee in 1996. And it celebrates Tennessee people, places, products. This is much more focused on celebratory menus, Easter Sunday,
okay, yeah, yeah,
wedding brunches, bridal brunches, New Year's buffet, you know, even tailgating. So it's very focused on celebrations, I would say that. I don't know if this would be a good one for just finding something for the week. But it, if you like history, especially if you're a Tennessean, this is a really fun thing to have as a resource. And yeah, one I would for sure recommend.
Yeah, that's a whole nother direction you could go, whether it's for yourself or a wedding gift, is picking a person who's got something like that for your state.
Mm-hmm.
There is a famous cookbook out of Kentucky. It's actually called Out of Kentucky Kitchens by Marion Flexner.
Okay.
And it's full of colorful anecdotes about famous Kentuckians, hostess and cooks.
I love it.
So included with the recipes is the kind of culinary mm-hmm. journey of Kentucky, or, you know, in Mississippi, Julia Reed had some
yep.
cookbooks and full of fun stories.
That's
and
cool.
different things like that. So that's another direction you could go mm-hmm. with a cookbook, is not just from a restaurant, but from your home state.
Yeah, just from wanting to know the full picture, the full yeah. cultural context that some of the recipes, how they came about. Yep, I love it.
Well, another popular direction you can go with a cookbook is a collaboration that's done by the Junior League.
Oh my gosh, yes.
They do, you know, I mean, Junior League, a lot of those people involved in Junior League do a lot of hosting, do a lot yes. of entertaining, I might say.
Sure, yes.
So there's several famous Junior League cookbooks. Mm-hmm. One of the most famous Junior League cookbooks I would think of is the Charleston Receipts.
Yes.
So the Charleston Junior League put that collection together, and it's been going for a long time.
Yeah, you have the receipts. I have the receipts repeats, and these are so fun in the way that they are the plastic spiral bound. Yes. That you'll see only in the world of church cookbooks.
Oh, love them so much.
But we'll go ahead and mention it here. But yeah, this was, the repeats came out in 1994, so it's already dated as well. But this one's very special to me because this was given to me from my friend Leslie, whose mom has passed. And so this was in part of her inheritance, and she was kind enough to give it to me because she knows how much I love Charleston. But yeah, I would say I actually just discovered in the back of the, I don't know if the regular receipt ones has this or not, but in the back there are some menu sections that are fantastic. There's a huge notes section, which cracks me up. Like, only in 1994 would you have actually been making notes, right?
And careful. This girl still takes notes on her recipes.
But it's got menus for luncheons, light suppers, summer suppers, dinners. Does yours have that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Supper club fare. I love that. I love that there was a supper club that somebody consulted this cookbook for.
Does yours include some of the beginning sections of things? It'll have a little bit of the Gullah language. Which is because that's who was doing the cooking.
Yes.
Let's keep that in mind.
Yes.
Does yours have that?
I don't see that in mine, but I might just be overlooking it.
Okay. Well, we'll have to chat about that after because I think it's interesting. But yeah, it's each category in mine has a little Gullah thing at the beginning.
Okay.
And, you know, in that Charleston area, that's who was cooking a lot of the food.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another thing I would say, is a lot of the best chefs in the South sometimes didn't get credit for their own recipes.
Exactly.
A long time ago. So I'm glad that's changed now.
For sure. Yeah, one of my favorite crab cakes recipes actually comes from, I haven't made a lot of crab cakes in my days, but
it comes from that.
It comes from this cookbook. Yeah.
Well, they have a prevalence of crab in that area, so they should know how to make good crab mm-hmm. cakes. Well, another, you know, really popular junior league cookbook collaboration that I think one of our listeners mentioned mm. as well is the Tea Time at the Masters.
Oh, yes.
That was put together by the Junior League of Augusta. And one of the things I think is cute about that one is it includes recipes from, for instance, the crab casserole from Mrs. Jack Nicklaus.
Yes.
Or the zucchini bread from Mrs. Arnold Palmer.
I love that.
You know, so you have some, if you're a golfer, that might be fun to have some of their recipes.
Yes. And we've mentioned on that Masters episode, there's, I mean, some even really simple, you'd think of the Masters as being everything so elegant and gourmet. Really pimento simple. Cheese sandwich and egg salad sandwich are really popular menu items on that course. So yeah, that's a fun one that was mentioned.
A couple other junior leagues I wanted to mention. The Talk About Good is the title
okay.
of a collaboration of the Junior League of Lafayette, Louisiana. So it okay. focuses on Cajun food.
Okay.
And I love that this cookbook starts even just with a basic roux, how to make a basic roux.
So good.
And then it ends with gumbo. So yes. it's a lot of the Cajun
yeah.
flair. If that's something you want to learn more about,
that's
you might
important.
Want to check out Talk About Good.
I love that. And when we went to that cooking class, and it was a gumbo cooking class, but I loved that they started just by going over the basics of a roux.
Yeah, because that's important to so many sauces,
yeah,
and gravies and that kind of thing. And then the Junior League of Baton Rouge has what's considered by most to be the textbook of Creole cooking, and theirs is called River Road Recipes.
Okay.
So the junior leagues know what they're doing.
I love it.
And there's even a collaboration that's just called the Southern Junior League Cookbook.
Okay.
So it's a compilation of several Southern Junior
League. That sounds really good. Southern Junior League Cookbook?
That's right.
Okay. I heard from one of our listeners that the 1977 Junior League Nashville Encore Cookbook was one of their favorites. So.
Okay. I think that one might even include some recipes from like country music celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're a country music fan, that might be a fun one to own.
That is fun. That's fun. Well, Allison, the gal that mentioned Tea Time at the Masters, she also mentioned the Blue Willow Inn Bible of Southern Cooking.
Oh, that's a restaurant.
Uh-huh. And then I also forgot to mention when you were talking restaurants, Choices Recipes.
Oh, that was here in Franklin. Our mom has that.
They have a good cookbook, mm-hmm. the Choices Recipes. It's from the Choices Restaurant in historic Franklin.
So cute. Another one that some people might know, there was a popular restaurant in Chapel Hill, North Carolina called Crook's Corner. Mm. And they have one called Seasoned in the South.
That's love
supposed
it.
To be really good as well. So
I love it.
What else?
We had two votes for Aunt Bee's Mayberry Cookbook.
Now, oh, yeah.
I'm not familiar with Aunt Bee's cooking, but apparently she can do a cookbook well. So we have to mention that one.
Well, that's pretty classic
yeah.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
And I believe it might even include the recipe for her kerosene cucumbers, if you know that episode. That will ring a bell. Yeah.
Well, I think the spiral bound cookbooks are most precious to me because yeah. they're out of print. Like, there's so many church spiral
man.
Cookbooks that if you've got one, you're going to have to reproduce it yourself because nobody has access to it.
Yeah. I had a couple of friends when I asked them
yeah.
what their favorites were. It was, you know, the First United Methodist of Greenwood, Mississippi,
or exactly.
the WMU First Baptist Church of Morganfield, Kentucky, you know,
yes.
so those aren't easily accessible online.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
those have a lot of great recipes from people you may know and love.
But it makes me like sad, but yet like curious at the same time of are there recipes that are contained within some church spiral bound cookbook that like the world needs to hear and know and we don't know that we're missing it because it's not in this mass produced Barnes and Noble shelf. And
if that's the case, and you know about it, put it on our Instagram or Facebook group or something.
Yeah.
That would be really fun to do.
Yeah. Because I feel like there's got to be somebody out there that's like, this yeast roll recipe is
the best of the best. Barnett.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like nothing touches it, and Southern Living's never covered this like this. And there's got to be some of those out there. So
I'm sure. A couple other things before I don't know if you're almost done.
I'm almost done.
I wanted to say. There's a pretty brand new cookbook. I mean, it's just been out a matter of months that I looked at that I thought this might be destined to be a classic. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Emily Meggett's Gullah Geechee Home Cooking. It looks delicious.
Really?
I think I would use the word simple. Like, it didn't look overly complicated. I guess that's why it's home cooking.
Now, I know the name Emily Meggett, but
she's considered trouble. They call her the matriarch of, I can't even speak, matriarch of Edisto Island.
Okay. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And so she...
You've told me about her before.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's Gullah Geechee, and she's, you know, has cooked for years and years. I don't know how old she is, but anyway, I did look at her cookbook in the Barnes & Noble, and I was just like, this looks like it could stand the test of time.
Wow. Okay. Well,
so if you want those kind of crab rice and some of those one-pot meals and things that the Gullah people are known for, that might be one you might want to check out.
They are known for, I'm glad you mentioned one-pot meals, because that's one of the appeals I have about some of the Gullah cooking that we learned about this summer. And red rice and just simple.
Some of those simple things that have the protein flavor right in there. And, so good. And then, of course, another direction, we didn't really go into this specifically, but if there's a chef you love.
Well,
they're well-known, they may have one
as
well.
Yes, you know,
I don't think we can touch Southern cookbooks and not at least mention the beauty of the photography and everything that is Heritage by Sean Brock.
Oh, yes.
It's just gorgeous.
Yes.
It almost looks more like a coffee table book to me. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. A lot of the modern chefs have such pretty books that I'm not sure how much cooking's coming out of them other than just coffee table.
And then I really like Edward Lee, some of his approach to food. He has one called Smoke and Pickles. So I'm sure you like that because you were mentioning the relishes and all. But,
well, that's awesome. I want to do a quick honorable mentions.
For sure.
Even though
let's do it.
We didn't go into any depth on these, but there were so many that you guys mentioned that all sound so good. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you know, your home state carries weight with you. So Marianne, our Texan listener, she loves The Homesick Texan, As the Spur Stirs, The Texas Food Bible, all three of those.
Ooh.
Calling All Cooks was mentioned by Kelly. We had Stan Thrasher. He mentioned one, and I bet it's good because he's a great cook. Frank Stitz, Southern Table.
Okay. Yeah, he's a great cook.
What else? Oh, the Nashville Cookbook, Virginia Hospitality Cookbook by Hampton Roads Junior League.
I know one listener mentioned the White Lily Cookbook.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just say it's a great one for baking.
Baking.
I mean, it's got all the baking classics in it. And that's a whole nother direction we didn't really focus on. But there's another popular one called Southern Cakes by Nancy McDermott that's supposed to be really good if you're a baker and like cakes.
Yeah, that is. It's a whole nother category.
That's a whole nother.
Yeah, that
one. We could do grilling and pit masters.
Yes.
I mean, that's a whole nother one, right?
Yeah.
Rodney Scott's.
Yeah.
Or Aaron Franklin or Myron Mixon. Like, you got
that's
whole
true.
World.
Like, look at you rattling them all off. Yeah, the cookbooks that pertain to smoking at our house are starting to outweigh just regular cookbooks because my husband's so into that right now. But and on and on and on. I know I didn't get to mention everybody's that sent something in, but, you know, again, like we said, it's so personal.
It is.
And
I enjoyed getting to read what stands out to other people, though.
I did too.
Isn't it sweet?
I did too. But I think I went into it thinking, I wonder if there's going to be even, like, if this is going to widen the pool even more for us, or if this is going to narrow it down. And sure enough, it widens the pool.
Well, I think about, too, how sweet, like, you've got a cookbook there that was a pass down from someone else. It's fun to think about that. Like, who's going to get our cookbooks and, you know, our cast iron skillets and, you know, all of that special stuff that's seasoned with love.
So good.
And lard.
Good lard. Well, I would say the library actually is a great resource for what we're talking about today, because cookbooks can be an investment. So go check some of these out.
See what you want to buy.
And then figure out what you want to buy. Yeah, just like you did. So, okay. Happy cooking, happy baking, happy grilling and smoking and all the things. Canning. And with that, I'll just leave you with peace be with you, Lainey.
And also with y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.